Spirit, by whose aid the world's foundations first were laid. Come visit every humble mind. Come pour your joys on humankind. From sin and sorrow set us free. Descend from high, your sevenfold gifts to us supply. Help us eternal truths receive and practice all that we believe. Give us yourself that we may see the glory of the Trinity. Immortal honor and endless fame attend the Almighty Father's name. The Son be glorified, who for all humankind has died. To you, O Paraclete, we raise unending songs of thanks and praise.
We follow the order of matins. It is printed in the bulletin. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
O Lord, open my lips,
and my mouth will declare your praise.
Make haste, O God, to deliver me.
Make haste to help me, O Lord. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever.
Blessed be God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
O come, let us worship him. O come, let us sing to the Lord. Let us make a joyful noise to the rock of our salvation. Let us come into his presence with thanksgiving. Let us make a joyful noise to him with songs of praise. For the Lord is a great God and a great great King above all gods. The deep places of the earth are in his hands. The strength of the hills is his also. The sea is his, for he made it, and his hand formed the dry land. Oh, come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord our Maker. For he is our God, and we are the people of his pasture and the sheep of his hand. Glory be to the Father and to the Son and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now,
the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Oh, come and let us worship him.
Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the wicked,
nor stands in the way of sinners, nor sits in the seat of scoffers.
But his delight is in the law of the Lord,
and on his law he meditates day and night.
He is like a tree planted by streams of water that yields its fruit in its season,
and its leaf does not wither. In all that he does, he prospers.
The wicked are not so,
but are like chaff that the wind drives away.
Therefore the wicked will not stand in the judgment,
nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous.
For the Lord knows the way of the righteous,
but the way of the wicked will perish.
Congregation may be seated. The first reading is from Jeremiah chapter 17, verses 5 through 8. Thus says the Lord, cursed is the man who trusts in man, makes flesh his strength, whose heart turns away from the Lord. He is like a shrub in the desert, and shall not see any good come. He shall dwell in the parched places of the wilderness, in an uninhabited salt land. Blessed is the man who trusts in the Lord, who trusts is the Lord. He is like a tree planted by water, that sends out its roots by the stream, and does not fear when heat comes, for its leaves remain green, and is not anxious in the year of drought, for it does not cease to bear fruit. O Lord, have mercy on us.
Thanks be to God.
The New Testament reading is from 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 1 through 20. Now I would remind you, brothers, of the gospel I preached to you, which you received, in which you stand, and by which you are being saved, if you hold fast to the word I preached to you, unless you believed in vain. For I delivered to you as of first importance what I also received, that Christ died for our sins in accordance with the Scriptures, that he was buried, that he was raised on the third day in accordance with the Scriptures, and that he appeared to Cephas, then to the 12. Then he appeared to more than 500 brothers at one time, most of whom are still alive, though some have fallen asleep. Then he appeared to James, then to all the apostles. Last of all, as to one untimely born, he appeared also to me. For I am the least of the apostles, unworthy to be called an apostle, because I persecuted the church of God. But by the grace of God, I am what I am, and his grace toward me was not in vain. On the contrary, I worked harder than any of them, though it was not I, but the grace of God that is with me. Whether then it was I or they, so we preach and so you believed. Now, if Christ is proclaimed as raised from the dead, how can some of you say that there is no resurrection of the dead? But if there is no resurrection of the dead, then not even Christ has been raised. And if Christ has not been raised, then our preaching is in vain, and your faith is in vain. We are even found to be misrepresenting God, because we testified about God that he raised Christ, whom he did not raise, if it is true that the dead are not raised. For if the dead are not raised, not even Christ has been raised. And if Christ has not been raised, your faith is futile, and you are still in your sins. Then those also who have fallen asleep in Christ have perished. If in Christ we have hope in this life only, we are of all people most to be pitied. But in fact, Christ has been raised from the dead, the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. O Lord, have mercy on us.
Thanks be to God.
The congregation is invited to stand for the reading of the gospel. The Holy Gospel from Luke chapter 6, verses 17 through 26. And he came down with them and stood on a level place, with a great crowd of his disciples and a great multitude of people from all Judea and Jerusalem, and the seacoast of Tyre and Sidon, who came to hear him and to be healed of their diseases. And those who were troubled with unclean spirits were cured. And all the crowd sought to touch him, for power came out from him and healed them all. And he lifted up his eyes on his disciples and said, "Blessed are you who are poor, for yours is the kingdom of God. Blessed are you who are hungry now, for you shall be satisfied. Blessed are you who weep now, for you shall laugh. Blessed are you when people hate you, and when they exclude you and revile you, and spurn your name as evil on account of the Son of Man. Rejoice in that day and leap for joy, for behold, your reward is great in heaven, for so their fathers did to the prophets." But woe to you who are rich, for you have received your consolation. Woe to you who are full now, for you shall be hungry. Woe to you who laugh now, for you shall mourn and weep. Woe to you when all people speak well of you, for so their fathers did to the false prophets. O Lord, have mercy on us.
Thanks be to God.
Forever, O Lord, your word is firmly set in the heavens.
Lord, I love the habitation of your house and the place where your glory dwells.
Blessed are those who hear the word of God and keep it.
Lord, I love the habitation
Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit.
Lord, I love the habitation of your house, and the place where your glory dwells.
The congregation may be seated.
If Christ had not been raised from death, our faith would be in vain, our preaching but a waste of breath, our sin and guilt remain. But now the Lord is risen indeed. He rules in earth and heaven. His gospel meets a world of need. In Christ we are forgiven. If Christ still lay within the tomb, then death would be the end, and we should face our final doom with neither guide nor friend. But now the Savior is raised up, so when a Christian dies, we mourn yet look to God in hope. In Christ the saints arise. If Christ had not been truly raised, his church would live a lie. His name should never more be praised. His words deserve to die. But now our great Redeemer lives. Through him we are restored. His word endures, his church revives. In Christ our risen Lord.
The sermon this morning is based on this reading from 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 1 through 20. To begin, I'm going to preach on a number of the verses out of that, or mention them. But I reread that last verse of the section, verse 20. But in fact, Christ has been raised from the dead, the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord. You are our rock and our redeemer. Amen. If you like, you can look at the sermon notes and outline on the blue half page. Paul is quite straightforward and clear. The resurrection of Jesus Christ, and the meaning for that as Christians who believe in him, is all important and affects everything in our lives. And one way of saying it is that it is pointless to be a Christian if one does not believe in the resurrection of the dead. That's what Paul is pointing out. This faith, this understanding that God raises people from the dead is central. And if you don't believe in that, pointless to be a Christian. And going along with that, there is a heaven and there is a hell. As clear as Scripture says in so many passages. And there is a final judgment by a just God. These are clear. These are all part of the resurrection of the dead. In that outline, I've just summarized the same things that Paul has said in verses 13 through 18. If the dead are not raised, that is, if there's no afterlife, then Paul said, then Christ is not raised. And if Christ is not raised, then our preaching, he says, is worth nothing. And Christian faith is worth nothing. If Christ has not been raised, then our preaching is nothing.
And he even says in the text there, he says, we've been misrepresenting God if it's not true. Let me put it this way, as I wrote down, if Christ is not raised, all preachers are liars. And even every Christian is a liar. Because so central to our faith that Jesus has risen from the dead and will raise all people from the dead, so central to the faith that if we don't believe that, we're lying, calling ourselves Christian with a Christian message. He said, if Christ is not raised, our faith is worthless. He also said there, if Christ is not raised, all the dead have perished. And I've mentioned this a number of times in Bible class, also from the pulpit. That word perish, that English word perish, indicates the idea that you are destroyed forever. It doesn't mean to die like the body dies. It means destroyed, cease to exist, apart from God. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. To die, for the body to die of a Christian, is not perishing. Perish means done, gone, apart from God. And Jesus said, those who believe in him, though he died, though they will not perish. And if Christ has not been raised, Paul says, we Christians are foolish. We're more pitied to be of anybody on earth. But it's the heart of our message, that this life is not the end, but God raises the dead. And if we don't believe that, just we're missing the point of all of Christianity. Earlier in this, the earlier verses of this text, Paul points out that the resurrection of the dead was always, always God's plan. When he says in those beginning verses that Jesus died for our sins according to the scriptures, and that Jesus was buried and raised on the third day according to the scriptures, what Paul is saying is that these things were prophesied, that the Messiah would die, be buried, and rise again in the Old Testament. This was God's plan from the beginning. And you can say very clearly that God clearly spoke about this to Adam and Eve. She will bear a son, and he will crush your head. This victory over Satan was planned by God all the time. The death and burial and resurrection according to the scriptures, Paul says. Paul said that he received this, and there's a mistake in the notes, not to others, but from others. Paul didn't make this up. He received the message and the teaching of the resurrection of the dead from others, from the scriptures, from the eyewitnesses. He received it. He's not making it up. He's passing it on. And he says he appeared to Cephas, that's Peter, and the other apostles. And one thing is the only place we know that it happened, because we don't have it in the gospel narrative. All four gospels don't record this, but Paul knows that at one time Jesus appeared to 500 believers together at the same time. And he mentions that. And Jesus appeared to James. That's an interesting little thing that he says there. James, the half-brother of Jesus. Scripture talks about Jesus having brothers and sisters born of Mary, born of a natural way, conception in a natural way. But we also see in the Gospels that his brothers rejected Jesus during his ministry. Peter, or Jesus, appeared to James, and James became a great leader in the city and church of Jerusalem and was known and spoken about in Acts. And Paul says, and finally, he appeared to me. I'm not lying, Paul says. All these people saw him. Even the doubters, they saw him and they came to believe. And even me, Paul says, who persecuted the church. He brings this line of argumentation to show the Christians in Corinth, do not doubt the resurrection of the dead. It's true. This is the basis of our message that Jesus rose from the dead. For us, I offer a few implications and meanings of this for us. Verse 20, he concluded, but in fact, Christ has been raised from the dead, the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. He kept saying, if he's not raised from the dead, then this. If not, then this. If not, then this. For a number of verses there. But then Paul says, but in fact, Christ has been raised from the dead. The entire Bible, all the narratives, all the teachings in the Bible point to God's plan that Jesus is going to give eternal life to all who trust and believe in him. And that also there is a judgment. So we as Christians, our awareness of what's going on in life, the good and the bad things going on, our awareness of everything that's going on is directed by this truth that there is life forever with God. We can get caught up in the daily news, good and bad, and forget that everything that we think about and perceive and how we interpret or how we handle things as a Christian is really framed, is surrounded by this truth, is grounded in this truth that God raises the dead, that this is not the end, that there is a final judgment, and that all who believe in Jesus Christ live forever in him in heaven. Sometimes we as Christians are also disturbed, saddened, upset by evil things going on in the world all around us. But we as Christians should know that God has not left control to things to go willy-nilly and then there's no judgment. There is a judgment. How I perceive things is there's a lot of people don't believe that there's a God and they're going to be judged for what's going on. Because they will. And we will. And we plead in the name of Jesus, forgive me. Take me to heaven. And the sufferings that we have today is temporary. Does end. When we die, maybe that's when it ends. When we die, we have life forever without suffering. Scripture is clear. All pain and suffering and tears are wiped away. Unforgiven sin is punished. It does not go unpunished. So this reality of Jesus' resurrection from the dead shapes our thinking. This is a reality. Will they forget all these reality shows? This is reality. For we Christians who go through life day to day is that Christ has risen from the dead and he will raise me from the dead. And so my approach to everything I face is knowing that. Knowing that this too shall pass. Knowing that this is good, but God's going to do more. Knowing that my lost one in the faith who's died beforehand, I will see that person again. Absolutely true. That is our frame of thinking and our reference. And each day then, we approach knowing that there's a resurrection of the dead, knowing that there's life eternal. Each day we approach that, I'm getting a day closer to that. Maybe it's tomorrow. Maybe it's in 10 years. Maybe it's in 50 years. Whatever it is, I'm a day closer when God takes me to heaven. And in that sense, today, right now, is connected to heaven. God knows the timing for each one of us. But today, right now, is connected to eternity because I know it's true and I know in Christ I have life everlasting. And whether that comes tonight or tomorrow or 10 or 50 years, it's coming. So, as we go through each day, we say to ourselves and to one another, God, Jesus, promises I'm going to live forever in heaven. It's a promise. It's true, and I believe it. So today, I'm going to serve him. What can I do? How can I help others? While I'm still here on this earth, what can I do to serve God and help others? Because I'm going to heaven. That is my place. And I want to honor God. And I want to love others. I really want others to go to heaven, too. How can I help them? Because I'm not afraid. And I'm not worried. And wickedness is not going to go forever and ever. Amen. No. Heaven is true, the resurrection of the dead. And I can take everything that's going on and understand it by that and say, so how will I go through today and tomorrow? Loving God, loving others. On my way to heaven. We pray. Dear Lord Jesus Christ, thank you for this promise, this guarantee of heaven, because you died and rose for us, which was always the plan. And we ask you to give us confidence and to look past things the world says, but to see what you say and what you promise. Help us get through the good and bad today, tomorrow, and the next day, knowing that you're with us, knowing that this promise is absolutely true. In your name we pray, Jesus. Amen. Now may the peace which surpasses all human understanding keep our hearts and our minds with our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. At this time, we sing the canticle hymn. Remain seated. We sing the canticle hymn, which is hymn 941, towards the back of the hymnal, hymn 941.
To you bring.
the martyrs of your kingdom, a great and noble throng, sing with the holy church throughout all the world this song.
Stand for prayer. Prayers of Zion Lutheran Church are written in the bulletin. Heavenly Father, your kingdom has made manifest in the preaching and miracles of Jesus Christ. Gather together your great multitude from every Gentile nation and from Judea's remnant, that many may know wisdom come in our flesh. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Grant, O Lord, that your people may always hold fast to the word that has been preached to them and not believe it in vain. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Preserve the family in all godly homes. Give parents diligence and persistence in their duties to teach the faith in word and example. Keep all children in the promise you made to them in their baptism. Let the patience, kindness, and endurance of Christian love have no end among us. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
O God, do not let our rewards and blessings consist in the treasures and goods of this world. Give us joy in every sorrow, knowing that if we have you, we lack nothing, and will receive an eternal reward in Christ that cannot fail. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Be near to those who are troubled by any unclean spirit, memory, or thought, and be with the sick and all who need your healing. We remember Margaret and Charlotte, Loretta, Carlin, Bill, Jason, Gary, Bryston, Keith, Brad, Don, Denny, Ruby, James, Violet, Joe, Kim, Darlene, Andrew, Tasha, Mary Ellen, Lynn, Pastor Nierman, Pastor Shiwi, and Pastor Berlin. And we ask you for the comfort of the families of Pastor Luring and for the family of Robin Everly. Send forth your power in the name of Christ Jesus, that they would hear your word and be cured. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
We pray, we entrust all these petitions to your care, loving Father, confident in your great mercy,
for the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord, who is worshiped together with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Amen. Lord, have mercy. Christ, have mercy. Lord, have mercy.
We pray, O Lord, graciously hear the prayers of your people, that we who justly suffer the consequence of our sin may be mercifully delivered by your goodness
to the glory of your name, through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen.
I thank you, my Heavenly Father, through Jesus Christ, your dear Son, that you have kept me this night from all harm and danger. And I pray that you would keep me this day also from sin and every evil, that all my doings in life may please you. For into your hands I commend myself, my body and soul and all things.
Let your holy angel be with me, that the evil foe may have no power over me. Amen.
We pray our Lord's Prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name.
Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven.
Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
Let us bless the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
Amen. Amen. Guide me, O thou great Redeemer,
I am weak, but thou art mighty. Hold me with thy powerful hand.
Bread of heaven, bread of heaven, feed me till I want no more. Feed me till I want no more. Open now the crystal fountain, whence the healing streams doth flow. Let the fiery cloudy pillar lead me all my journey through. Strong deliverer, strong. Strength and a shield. Be death.